going to be basically sticking Galatians mostly, but I want to be in chapter 1 just for a moment here, and I just want to tell you there's an important part of being part of the church. It's very, very important that you keep sticking with the church. It's very, very important that you attend church. It's important that you participate because there's a strengthening that comes with it. And there's a strengthening that comes with it. If you want good, godly advice, are you going to go to someone who is a Christian not going to church? Or are you going to go to someone who's a Christian who is going to church? Most likely, you're going to get the best advice from somebody that is weekly attending church faithfully. Paul's writing here, and some things are not right. I want to read one verse from chapter 1, and he says in verse 6, I have marveled that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. Continues to go on, but he is stunned in a way that those who have accepted Christ, those who have drawn to God through the grace of Christ now are starting to turn their ship into another direction. Do you know how many people do that? A lot of people do that. They love the idea what the church is a part. They love the idea what God's a part. But sometimes people, as we read in other scriptures, people have itchy ears. People are looking for something new. People are looking for something that is more entertaining. But here they're moving to a different gospel. Can I tell you that if you turn on the TV or listen to the radio or get online and you listen to a preacher, listen, because he's a preacher, you make sure you're listening to the Word. Because there's a lot of false preachers out there. It's a lot of false prophets. There's a lot of false teaching. There's a lot of different... There's a lot of people preaching a gospel that is not the gospel. And it even happens in this town. It happens in Fort Wayne. It happens all across. Because people are gullible. People when we come to Christ, we're supposed to be immature. We're supposed to be an infant. We're supposed to make mistakes. We're going to make mistakes. But as we grow, we're supposed to be growing up. Not just growing, but growing up in Christ. Growing up in the Word. And they've struggled. These people were struggling. There's some things that they struggle with that we're not going to struggle with. They talk about circumcision and going back to the law, and they're bouncing back and forth. But we are bouncing back and forth today sometimes too. Because when people go out and look for a church, many times people are looking at churches in different ways. Some people say, I want the best program for my children. Others say, I can't go to church unless I have a live band. Others say, listen, I got to make sure that there is something of fellowship time. And some of those can be really good things. But listen, if the Word is not preached, the Word is not taught biblically, you need to get your stuff and you need to go elsewhere. You need to go elsewhere. But I'm telling you, the more you attend church, the more you are part of what's going on in God's in the houses where God has visions and missions and things going on, the more you will grow. You got to be a part of that. You don't drift away as many drift away. So I want to share some things in chapter 5. We struggle with. Matter of fact, I want to go somewhere else first, real quick. I want to go to Ephesians chapter 6 for a minute. There's a thing that happens, and some of you know I bounce on spiritual warfare a little more than some, but it's okay because I think we work through spiritual warfare a lot here. But I'm going to tell you, sometimes people tell me, people will tell me that in general tonight I'm talking about Christians. So when I say people are taught, they'll tell me that some things are happening to them. Okay? Sometimes they'll say, some things are happening to me. And somebody else will say, some things are happening to me. And one thing is, I know this, that there is pain and suffering and loss in spiritual warfare. There can be pain, physical pain, suffering, loss, attacks, all kinds of things can happen in spiritual warfare. But people get confused sometimes when it's not spiritual warfare, but it's the consequences of the sin that they're committing, that they think it's spiritual warfare, but it's the consequences of the sin that they are committing. Does that make sense? Okay? So those of you that are there, that are at that level of maturity, know that there is a difference. And we don't, sometimes we don't see the difference because as when we're immature or we've stepped away from God, stepping away from His, we've stepped away and we stopped going to church. We stopped doing those things we used to do with God. And then we get out here, but we remember some things like spiritual warfare. And those things can be, sometimes can become dangerous because we're not using the Word in the way that it was meant to be. So we think that something bad is happening to me and, oh, that must be spiritual warfare. I want to tell you, when our lives become messy, we stop receiving the blessings of God. And people claim sometimes when that life gets really messy, and I'm talking about all that sinful stuff, when it gets messy, what's happened? The blessings begin to stop and people begin to think that it's spiritual warfare. But what spiritual warfare is, I want to come back to that for a minute. And Ephesians chapter 6, this is what it is. Finally, my brethren, in verse 10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. This is how we get through it. We get through spiritual warfare by the power of God. But some people claim, when they, you can see the difference between the immature Christian begins to feel that they can go talk about everything to everybody else and try to get all kinds of insight of it, and they just bring it up into a gossip, and they become busybodies with it and not really understanding it. And so they struggle with some of these things. But it says, put on the full armor of God. Put on the full armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the tricks, whatever your version says, of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly realms and the heavenly places. I want to tell you, when people attack people, I'm telling you, demonic is a part of that. There's spiritual darkness in people. If you don't think there's spiritual darkness in political world, then you got to grow up. There is spirit in the Lord. There is spiritual darkness all across this land. And spiritual warfare happens. If you want spiritual warfare to stop, then stop doing what Jesus called you to do. But spiritual warfare is going to continue, because when you do what God's called you to do, you're being the light of the world. You're penetrating into darkness. You're living different than the world, so you become a target. And darkness is going. And a lot of people don't want to talk. They want to talk about the love of God and the mercies of God. And yes, this is great. You see that in Ephesians. You see that all over in Ephesians, the grace of God. There is a part when you get out into the battlefield, you cannot help but not talk about the battles. But in the in Galatians 5, I want to move into this. This is the area I want to stay tonight, though. But Galatians 5, chapter 5. There's problems in this in Galatia right now, with these Galatians right now. There is problems, and Paul's trying to, he wants to get them to understand. Verse 15, we don't have time for all of this. So verse 15, but if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. He knows that there is division. Listen, the Bible tells us there are six things the Lord hates and seven that He detests. Is an abomination. And the seventh is when people divide the brethren. Division among the brethren. Okay? That's detestable to God. Here He talks about this. Listen, when someone comes into the church, and there's been a few times, and God has shown it what, how that is, when somebody wants to come to the church and to divide the church, listen, God's not about division. That's dividing. That's the devil's work. How many of y'all been a part of a church where there has been division and wanted to vote out a pastor? I've been out one, two, three churches. One. And you know what I see when those happen? Every time there's people that come back and sit in the pews for a vote because they've been a member and they haven't seen them in years. And people I never even knew to come to vote and call this whole thing calling out a pastor and seeing if he's still just to call him out and then vote and see if he should still be pastor or not. And the church is foolish to the point of allowing members, because they have this membership right, to vote on someone they've never even heard preach, who've never even heard anything, because they just don't come to church, but they're still a member. And we all know this, right? Membership don't get you into heaven. Church membership don't get you into heaven. But if your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, it is. This vote of confidence is not biblical. I'm telling you, a vote of confidence is not biblical. God called the man to be there. That church took it. They took it together, and there began to become almost a marriage. Okay? And they went to the divide. And usually, if you find out where it comes from, you go down that trail where all of it started, there's an individual who's usually immature spiritually, but has high ranking in the church. Most of the time. And people go to that person because they were A1, a deacon, A1, a trustee, or someone of influence in the church. And they just put him in there because he had the right last name. He had the right status. He filled in a Sunday school class, whatever it was. So that person, they're going to listen to. And all the immature people will follow they'll follow the immature leader. And so here he says, if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by another. It's going to happen if you go down that road. I remember being in a church and they called me up and said, "Hey, Jimmy, won't you and Carla come on over to our house?" And this, I said, "I'm not going over there. I wasn't called to be a pastor, Simon. I just knew I'm not going over there. Why not?" I said, "Y'all are having a party." I said, "You're the deacon of the church. I mean, you're the senior deacon." "Well, we're not having a party." "Well, it sounds like it to me. You got a lot of people over there." "Well, we just all kind of gather." And I said, "Listen, if you want to gather and you're the deacon, and I'm just telling you, you should have called us all up and went down to the church house, and we should have been praying about this decision that the church made. Because now this church kicked out a pastor. Me and my wife, we didn't last another couple of weeks. We were done. Wasn't going to be a part of that. Wasn't going to be a part of that. Division is only... the church never became what it should have become. It never went back to where it ever. You know why? Churches need to repent. Right, Brother Phil? Right, Phil? Churches need to repent. Not just individuals, but we as a church, sometimes we need to get to a place where if there's something we've done in this against God, again, that we need to repent of it. Corporal prayer, asking God to bless, we do that, but have we asked God to forgive us? And so there's a problem here, and he's saying, listen, if you go this way, you're gonna fall apart. And then he says in verse 16, "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." There is something inside of us that battles us all the time, the right and wrong. But we would always choose ourselves. But now that we have the Spirit in us, He convicts our heart and leads us to the ways of righteousness. But He says, "For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish." There's times that we have a desire to do what is wrong, what is sinful, because of the joy of it, because of the pleasure of it. Because it puts us in a better place. We think it would. It's better for me, or it's better for you. And we have that. But he says we're not to be like that. He says in verse 18, "But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." There's a piece there that what they're talking about, this going back to law and circumcision and all that kind of stuff. But he goes on in verse 19. "Now the works of the flesh are evident." Listen, even non-believers know right from wrong. So you don't have to be a genius to know this. It's evident. It's there. We know if we steal something, we know when we're doing it that it's wrong. But our flesh says, "Why not? I want that. So I'm going to take that." But he says, these are the things that are evident. Now, all these things are forgivable. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Because there's something in here we've all failed out. We failed at. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. That God forgives. But we don't go back and do those things. Okay? The Bible tells us, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness. All those iniquities, which is a lifestyle living wrong. I mean, iniquities is sinful living on a continuous basis. So sometimes we have sin in our lives, but we have iniquities. Okay? Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, that's sex outside the marriage, uncleanness, lewdness, which means wicked sexually. We have that in this country, don't we? You don't raise your hand on this, but have you ever had one of those thoughts that you knew were wicked? That were sexually, that was wicked? Listen, that's how the devil works. We just read that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against these evil principalities of darkness. And they're working their work to make you not be clean before God. And so he says uncleanness, lewdness, that wicked sexual stuff, idolatry. We have idols. Listen, America has plenty of idols. And most of the time they're a sports person. They're a person that's been lifted up and put on a status. Not that they always want to be, but some of them like that. But it's idolatry. They're not worshiping God. They're worshiping something else, someone else. And then sorcery, witchcraft. That is one of the fastest growing religions right now, is the satanic group. They're being accepted to be able to say and pray whatever they're going to do, even in some of our political capital arenas and those things. And even though people walk out, we've opened the door. And listen, you open the door in the wintertime, the cat will come in and the dog, and if anything else tries to get in, if you open the door, it all will come in. You can't have it this way and that way. That's what we try to do in our country. We want everybody to be happy. Listen, Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace. I come to divide. Now, that divide is not the call of the divide we're talking about. It's talking about, listen, believers and non-believers, okay? That's not a bad division. It's just calling people, letting them know they sinned, and saying there's an opportunity for your sins to be forgiven, okay? And offer them salvation. But he goes on, he says, hatred. Listen, not one of us should hate anybody. But some of us have had people in our minds where we just can't stand somebody. And if you hold that long enough where you can't stand somebody, you'll get to a place where you can be at hating somebody. And that's not, you can't show the love of God when you got hate in your heart. You just can't. Okay? And then he goes on, he says, contentions. Okay? That's the person that's always wanting to be, those heated arguments all the time. Always heated disagreements. Can't have a calm, cool, collected conversation. But if it isn't going my way, this person gets heated. They get hot. They get mad. They always got to raise their voice. Listen, that's not biblical. That's not godly. We've all been at places and done some of these things. And he's reminded us that we're led by the Spirit. We don't do these things anymore. Then he says jealousies. Now, jealousy is different than envy. Jealousy is the fear of someone taking something you have or someone you have. That's jealousy. Okay? Someone, if you have a fear, of, we serve a jealous God. Okay? Jealous doesn't mean, it's not, this isn't the, he's talking about the wrong type of jealousies. Okay? But it's the fear that you're going to lose, that someone's going to get some, is after something, of someone that you have or something that you have. You're jealous that you're going to lose that. Envy is when you look at what other people have and you covet it. You desire it. I want that. Why do they get that? And I didn't get that. I want that. And he said, we shouldn't have jealousies or envies. And he says, outbursts of wrath. There's no room in the church house for people to run around and get all crazy, loud, and yelling at people and throwing fits of rage. That's demonic. When we live like this, we're allowing the demonic influence to influence us in our life. Okay? Okay, so when we have losses and we get to this part where we fornication, we've fallen into the walk of the darkness and we allowed it to penetrate and we fell into that flesh. And so there's going to be consequences for that. But he says, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions. Listen, as a believer, it's one of the first things we learn. It's not about us anymore. It should be. It's not about me anymore. It's about me with the Lord and the Lord in my life and letting people be more important and learning to love people. And people that are selfish ambition, you know what they do? They love themselves. It's all about them. They never apologize. They love themselves. They love what they do. It's all about them. And usually, if you're working in one of some of these emotional spots, because envy and jealousy are emotional things, usually one hits, it's like a domino effect. Selfish ambition, fits of rage, jealousies, and you get all those kind of things. And then it goes into envy, we just talked about that, murders. Listen, those emotions get so packed up, people end up committing murder. What's behind that? Well, we just found out that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the darkness. It's working around us. It's working through us, touching those little hot points on you that you get angry easy. Boing, you like this, and you know it's wrong, and keep pushing your buttons. And the Bible says if we're in the Spirit, we don't, let me put it in my words, you don't have to, they push your buttons, you can say, I'm in the Spirit. Greater is he that's in me than he's in the world. I'm not like that anymore. I'm not supposed to be like that. But he goes into drunkenness. And then we can even say getting high, doing those things. And didn't the scriptures tell us that there'll come a time when what is wrong will be right and what is right will be wrong. And now we're wanting to legalize marijuana, which messes with you. I'm just telling you, our nation is getting there. Rivalries, that's getting everything all stirred up and everything else. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in the past time, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. I'm not saying it, the Bible said it. There is no exemptions, and you're not special, you're not above God's word. I am not above God's word, you're not above God's word. God's word is for all of us. But what's really awesome about God is he puts it in these scriptures and he says, but I like it in there because that gives us something. Hey, something positive is coming. The fruit of the Spirit, there's going to be about nine of them. They're awesome. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Listen, if you're living in sin, you're not expressing. You can't give love. I don't care. If you're living in sin, you guys, you can't give love. You just can't do it. You may want to, you may think you can, but you can't do it. So the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy. Listen, if you're living in sin, I'm telling you, a person who's living in sin, they're never joyful. They're always trying to find joy in something. And you know, the bottle never gives joy. The Bible says sin hits for a season, but they may find joy for a moment, but it's over. It comes at a cost. And then the pain comes after. Peace. People that are living like the things we talked about against the Spirit, there's no peace. A person of envy, a person that is a... We didn't even get into the other list. The other scripture talks about gossipers and slanders and all those kind of things. This is just some of the list. You're like that. If a person is like that, there's no peace in them. Have you ever walked by a person who's a believer and you feel that they have no peace? I know some people right now. Now I just see there is no peace in their life. Why? Because they're not being led by the Spirit. They're being led by the flesh. And watch yourself. You know when you're being led by the flesh. And you know when you're being led by the Spirit. And when you're being led by the flesh, it's always bumps and hits and mess ups and things don't work right. And then he says long suffering, patience. Listen, the only way you really get true patience is doing it by God's way. And kindness. When you're living on this side, you're not kind. You're not kind. You can only truthfully be kind with the Spirit. goodness. You can't be good without God. You just can't. You cannot be good without Christ. You cannot be good without the Holy Spirit. You cannot be good. You may think what you're doing is good, but there is even if the devil does something good, he does it for an evil intention. And then one of my favorites is faithfulness. That is a fruit of the Spirit. The Bible says even God, even if we deny Him, He cannot deny Himself. I love that. The key faithful. The one with the most the faithfulness is God. But faithfulness is part of that fruits of the Spirit. And then gentleness. Being that person, being a gentle. You can be a gentle giant in your life. And you know those people that they're just can be big people physically, whatever, and they're just gentle, just like super gentle, and it's awesome. And it's just gentle. You ever have somebody come up and just give you a hug in the church? It's great, but then once somebody else gives you a hug, it's nothing to do sexually at all, but they give you a hug and you can feel the Holy Spirit on them. The flesh wants to turn it into something sexual. The Holy Spirit says gentleness. Gentleness. We need to be more gentle here. Amen. Maybe even be gentle with the ones we even love the most. Self-control. On that side of the sheet, on that side of the page, on that side of living in the flesh, there is no self-control. Because it's all self-ambition. There is no self-control. You get self-control only by the Lord. Amen. And even with the Spirit, we're working with the Spirit, we still fail from time to time with self-control. But God is faithful. He'll forgive us. And He says, against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. And then in verse 9 of chapter 6, He says this, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season you shall reap harvest if we do not lose heart. We keep doing it. Even though sometimes it feels dark around us, we keep doing it. And then verse 14, He says, but God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but a new creation. I'm telling you, if you're a believer, you are not the same person. You are not going to be the same person today as you were the day before you got saved. And the day you got saved, something happened in you. The potter put his hands on you and began to mold you into someone who, even though it was very hard because we're all messed up, and he begins to work on us. And we begin to grow. Can I just share something? When we do these things on this list, we're doing acts against God, which means we're fighting against God. When we fight against God, we're going to lose. We're not going to get what we desired. We're not going to get that. So how do we fight against God? We fight against Him the way we live, the way we treat others. When we misuse Scripture to fit my situation, people do this all the time. We misuse Scripture to fit my situation, to make me feel better about myself, to sugarcoat and white coat my sin, that it's okay to live together and have sex outside of marriage. It's okay to be able to get drunk from time to time. It's okay to do those things. Listen, it works. That's the works of the flesh. But we also fight against God when we fall away from the church. Can I tell you something about the church? I like to protect the church as much as I can. Not to protect sin, but protect. Listen, if you have an attitude against the church, talk to God about it. Because if anybody should have an attitude, it should be Him. Because we mess it up all the time. Amen? I mess up all the time. He lets me know. If you have an attitude against the church, you take that up to God. Because if anybody's going to have an attitude and has a right to, it's him. If you're talking about corporately the church, you got to be careful. I have to be careful because then you're talking about his bride. Now, how many of you guys that are married want anybody to talk about your bride? You got to be careful. Treading on thin ice there. Because God loves the church. I'm telling you. The church is believers. He loves his kingdom. When we fight against God, when we fight the family of God, and we fight against God, when we fight against our Christian friends and our Christian families, we fight against God when we stop serving and we stop giving. And we fight against God when we turn and start living in sin. Now tonight, I know I'm talking mostly to the main group. This is a reminder to you to stay on task, to stay on track, to stay on the straight line. Because the devil will come in, and as Paul said, who cut in on you? You were running a good race. Who cut in on you? Listen, don't think you've arrived until you run in, until you meet Jesus. I'm not arrived until I meet Jesus. I'm accessible to spiritual warfare. I'm also accessible to consequences of sin. But when you're mature in Christ, you'll know the difference. And when you're mature in Christ, you'll take both to prayer. One will be, Lord, forgive me. I'm messing up. The other would be, Lord, have mercy on me. I'm going through things that I don't understand. I've been faithful to you, God. You've been faithful to me, but I'm in a spot where I can't feel you. I can't find you. I know you're here because Scripture says you'll never leave me forsake. But right now I'm feeling lonely. That's a prayer of a person going through spiritual warfare. Prayer person going through the consequences of sin. Father, I've messed up and I don't like the way I feel and I don't like what I've done. I feel horrible about what I've done. My heart's a mess, my body's a wreck, and I feel sick. Will you sit by me and just make me feel better and forgive me? I don't want to do this again. I'm telling you, that's a prayer of asking God to forgive. Maybe tonight you need to be praying one of those two prayers. Amen? Let's go ahead and stand.